Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years as radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com, and when you go there, you can find our good friend Mark Mayberry. He's all over my website and in so many different places. He's been a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Mark's an international speaker, seminar leader, and an author. He's one of the guys that we call on to help us as individual owners and as help our businesses put their best foot forward in the marketplace. He's the author of Building the Dream Workforce, and he's our good friend. Mark Mayberry, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Jim. Always a pleasure.
It's good to have you back. And now you're up in Madison, Wisconsin this week, working with some folks. Is it the Auctioneers Society or
the National Auctioneers Association? At least that's their name now. They're pondering a name change because obviously, just like every business out there is undergoing revolutionary change, it's not like it used to be. And it's not just a matter of auctioneers going out and doing an auction. You know, eBay has revolutionized the auction world.
Right.
So they're trying to make it more all-encompassing of the auction industry rather than just being an auctioneer.
Right. Well, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to bring that up, Mark, is because I keep reminding my audience that every industry that they're in, that our audience is in, has some kind of a national organization. And the importance of finding out about that national organization and plugging in with them and finding out, even if you don't go to all the meetings, even if you can't afford to go to the national conference, which is where you are right now, the annual conference and for the auctioneers or whatever, but these are people who, it's their job, the people who run these organizations, it's their job to be steering the industry a little bit and to be able to tell where the bumps in the road are.
Jim, I leave here tomorrow afternoon, and I head for Phoenix, Arizona, where the big National Speakers Association convention is. And we're going to have over 1,500 people out there. I'm the vice chair of the convention. And I started in this business back in 1990, and the most valuable piece of advice I ever received was from a gentleman named Austin McGonigal, and that was to join and be active in the National Speakers Association.
Which is your industry trade group.
Absolutely.
Right.
I spend a lot of time and a lot of dollars with that organization every year.
Well, but you cast your bread on the water, and it comes back to you in spades, and that's what happens. You know, I've been to many of these national trade group organizations over the years as an attendee or as an exhibitor or as a speaker or trainer or whatever, and the excitement that you see in their eyes, the happiness that they seem to have, the camaraderie, the companionship, the support that they give each other is really something that you can't get anywhere else, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. Whenever I have a slow period in my career or if I have something I've really got a challenge with, the friends that I've made through the National Speakers Association are the people that I call, and they find a way to help me get out of my challenge.
Right. Well, and that's the thing that I wanted to use what you're doing right now as an example for folks. You know, another thing, Mark, most of these trade groups have not only national organizations, but they break it down. They have, if they don't have regional organizations, many of them do have regional organizations, they actually meet on a regional basis, like quarterly.
Absolutely. In the National Speakers Association, we have state chapters. I belong to the National Speakers Association /Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the National Auctioneers Association has state chapters all over the country. I think it's important to be involved in both.
I had a client years ago whose business was a little bit, was not doing so well. And one of the reasons was he didn't really understand where the industry was going, where it was going to be headed in the, over the next 10 years. This was probably over 10 years ago. And I know it was over 10 years ago, probably closer to 15. And so I said, you know what? One of the things I'd like to recommend is that you go, you join your national group, your national trade group. And he did, and he got involved in the national level. He got involved in a, on a on a regional level. And you know what? Today his business is better than it's ever been. I'm not saying that was one of the that was the thing that turned it around, but I know that it opened his eyes about where his business was going over the next 10 years, and it made a difference to him.
You're right on target. This is so important to be involved with your national, and if you have one, or your state association.
When we come back, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Mark Mayberry is going to help us. We're going to take this theme and extend it to encouragement, which is one of the things that you get a lot of when you belong to a national organization. 20 till. We'll be right back. We're going to have a great visit, continue our great visit with our good friend Mark Mayberry.
I'll soon be with you, my love.
Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, we've got Miss Lisa Mitchell, who's with the Kauffman Foundation. She's going to be with us to talk to us about technology transfer. And Jim Ostroff he actually had a project where he studied the letters of the late President Ronald Reagan. We're going to get him, and he wrote an article about it that was in a national publication. We're going to get him to join us and talk to us a little bit about that. Mark Mayberry is our guest. He's the author of Building the Dream Workforce. And Mark, one of the things that's going to happen in the conference that you're in today is you're going to walk around these people, these auctioneers who are attending that conference, and you're going to witness them really motivating each other and encouraging each other, aren't you?
Well, the auctioneers are a unique brand of individual, as you can imagine. They're very outgoing, and they
colorful.
They are colorful. There are characters in this group, and it's amazing to me, Jim. You know, I had a preconceived notion of what auctioneers were all about, but they're so much more professional than I ever dreamed of, and they're selling million-dollar businesses through auctions. It's incredible what's going on here, but you're right. They go around, and they're constantly encouraging each other, firing everybody up, and whether you're in an association like the Auctioneers that is an outgoing group or a more reserved group, there is just tons of encouragement if you get involved.
That's a really important thing, a commodity, this thing, encouragement, that you think we need to actually focus on it more, don't you?
Well, as I walk around and I work with all kinds of industries, big and small companies, and you name the industry, I've probably given a presentation in that industry, there are two things that I find missing. Number one is accountability. I don't see that going on nearly as much as it should. It's a very uncomfortable thing. People don't know how to handle that. But the second thing, Jim, and it just breaks my heart, is self-esteem. I see a tremendous lack of self-esteem and the lack of encouragement in most organizations. When I had my own apparel company, we had over 100 people. It was so easy to walk around and see something that where somebody was messing up, where something was going wrong. And, you jump in their case right there. Why isn't this better? Why aren't you doing this? And you don't see the people going around patting each other on the back.
Right.
And encouragement has been such a big part of my life, my family, my friends. I can remember early in my life, I was 11 years old, and I played baseball ever since I could throw a ball with my dad and the kids in the neighborhood. But this was my first year of putting on a uniform and playing in organized baseball. And about the second game that I ever played, I'll never forget, it was late in the game. We were in a tie game. It was our last at bat, bottom of the last inning, and the bases were loaded. And there's a kid up. I was on deck. There was a kid ahead of me, and this was my first opportunity to really help my team or let my team down, and I was shaken. I was scared. And I happened to hear one of my teammates on the bench talking to another teammate. And there's a guy up the bat that could go ahead and win the game if he gets a hit. I'm on deck. There's nobody out. And I heard one of my teammates tell the other, "Well, don't worry, because if John doesn't get a hit, I know Mark will."
Wow.
And I can't tell you, I was almost praying that the kid up at bat wouldn't get a hit so I'd have a chance to go up there. And he hit a pop-up to the infield, and I got my chance in the first pitch. That ball looked like a beach ball. I lined a base hit to center field and won the game. But I wondered, you know, looking back, if I'd heard those kids say, well, gee, I don't know about Mark. He's new on the team. Maybe he's not going to do so well, so this guy at bat better get a hit. My whole baseball career could have gone differently, but already I had my teammates cheering me on, encouraging me, even though they didn't know that I heard the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and encouragement is so big.
You know, Ken Blanchard says, catch people doing something right. Don't just catch them doing something wrong. Catch people doing something right. And when you do that, you know, say something about it. And you know, one of the things that I've tried to do and that is such an inexpensive thing to do when you catch people doing something right is it doesn't take a lot of time. You don't have to have a lot of emotion involved. You don't have to make a big investment. Just say, well done.
Isn't that the truth? You know, it's tough for organizations, for your listeners, as they grow. They can't possibly be everywhere and see everything going on. But I have clients like Pizza Hut. They have what they call a champs card, Jim. And this champs card is, let's say you and I are working at a Pizza Hut restaurant, and I get real busy, and I'm back in the kitchen. We're both waiting tables. And you see that one of my tables needs a refill on the soft drinks. So you go over there, even though you're not going to get a tip for that table, you're going to help your teammate, and you refill their soft drinks.
Mm-hmm.
I come back out, and I see that they have got soft drinks that are refilled, and I say, well, how in the world did that happen? And they say, well, see that guy over there, that gym guy, he came over and filled those up. Well, at my next opportunity, I go back and grab one of the Pizza Hut Champs cards, and I write a thank you little note quick to you on there. I check off that you helped me with getting that drink refill over to that table quickly. And then the best thing is up in the corner of this little card, and it's a small card. It's smaller than the 3x5 index card. There's a little label that peels off that says Champs, and they get to put that on their collar for the rest of the day. So Pizza Hut has found a way to not just have their managers of their Pizza Huts going around encouraging everybody. They've built this culture of the team members actually patting each other on the back and saying thank you.
Well, and the thing is, what they also did is not only just encourage people to do that, but they created a little mechanism to help it happen, didn't they?
Absolutely. You can talk about it all day, but when you put in a system, I've got a friend in the rental industry near Atlanta, and he has this little wooden coin that says, thanks for being a great team member. And he decided he was going to hand this to one of his team members that he saw doing a great job, and his what he said to that person is, when he gave it to him, is when you see somebody else in this company helping you, I want you to give this coin to them. And
Mark,
the coin started to be.
Hold on to that thought. We're coming up on a break. We got to go.
Okay.
Quick break. Right back. Stay with us. We're back at 7-2. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Mark Mayberry is our guest. He's the author of Building the Dream Workforce. Mark, give us your website and tell us where your book's available.
The website is www.markmayberry.com. That's MarkMayBerry. And to get the book, you can call my toll-free number, which is 800-394-6138.
Now, what do we find when we get to your website?
At the website, you'll basically, I need to redo the website, Jim. Right now, it's just a list of the programs that I do that I offer to my clients,
mm-hmm.
One on change, one on customer service, and then one built around the book, Building the Dream Workforce.
All right, so check that out when you get a chance, folks. And if you need an outstanding speaker, I'm sure Mark will be glad to talk to you about that, and you can find out more about how to contact him there at the website, markmayberry.com. Okay, Mark, you were talking to us about a wooden, is it a wooden nickel that the guy
was
giving?
It was a wooden, like a coin. It was bigger than a nickel. It was probably the size of a silver dollar, and it was just, you know, one team member to another passed, and to finish my story, the guy that was the owner of this rental industry or rental company, he said, Mark, he said, I watched with amazement at the joy of somebody getting that coin and giving it to somebody else. He said, but I really knew it would work when I found that it made its way to my accounting office. I never thought it would get there. So it just was a great way to keep, you know, instead of the owner have to go around patting everybody on the back. Now, certainly they want to continue to do that, but they can't do that as they grow. They just get too big.
I call
so
those
if you get your team members encouraging each other.
Yeah. That's I call those worker bees. That little coin was a little worker bee for him.
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool idea. Well,
just like the Pizza Hut, and what you talked about a minute ago, Jim, they not only had a good idea, they had a system to implement that idea.
Another thing I've heard, and these are reward systems that are important, and they're important encouragement. But you know, Mark, and some people might say, well, I don't want to go to all that trouble. Well, okay, fine, don't do that right now. But at least make sure that whenever you have to get on somebody's case, that they know that if they did something right, you would acknowledge that too.
Absolutely.
Isn't that important, Mark? I mean, we've all had situations where we could never do anything that would make somebody compliment us or make somebody act like we did a good job. And nobody likes to be around people like that.
You know, one of the real tragedies that I've seen in my travels with all these companies, Jim, is once in a while we're talking about encouragement to a leader in an organization, and the comment that I get back is, well, you know, I don't have to tell them they're doing a good job. That's what we pay them for. And that's just a ridiculous way to look at it.
Well, that's a horrible way to think about life, I'll tell you that.
It really is.
That's a statement about how that person feels about life, as far as I'm concerned.
But you've run into people like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they just think, well, I'm paying you. I don't need to say thank you.
But you know what, Mark? Those people are dinosaurs.
Waiting
to become extinct, because in the 21st century, that attitude is not going to lead you to success. It's going to lead you to failure.
You're right about that, 100%.
You know, the old dominator model where, you know, my way or the highway, you know, yeah, you still get to be boss in your company, and you get to decide which way your company's going, and you get to tell people what to do. But the thing is that in the 21st century, these young people aren't going to put up with that, Mark, like you and I had to when we were young pups.
No, you're right. The world has changed in that way tremendously.
You know,
you cannot be a dictator.
Mike Mutzel writes about this. He writes and talks about the Gen Xers, the people, the generation, you know, behind us, and what their attitude is about work. And they may work as hard as we do, but you know, they want to be managed differently than you and I were when we were first coming up.
Isn't that the truth? It has definitely changed there. And a lot of companies that I deal with are similar to your listeners. In fact, they're family-owned businesses. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the kids have seen the fathers put in the 80-hour weeks, and they say, hey, I don't want to do that all my life.
Right.
There's more to life than just that. So you're dealing with that mentality, too, and you've got to be able to – you can still get tremendous response from these folks, but you have to treat them a little differently.
You know, Mark – the thing is why don't we just try to have a little fun, too, while we're being successful?
Well, I'll tell you want to encourage people. That's the biggest thing you can do is find a way to make their jobs more fun. That's something I talk about in all my programs.
And it's not impossible. Sometimes it might not be easy, but it's not impossible. It can be done. And Mark, I want to thank you for bringing this message to us today. Give us your website one more time.
www.markmayberry.com.
Thanks, Mark. It's good to have you on the show again. Good to talk to you.
Jim, can't wait for the next time.
We'll see you again. Mark Mayberry, ladies and gentlemen, the co-author, along with John Scriven, of Building the Dream Workforce. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.